You may have seen the spectacular Ferris wheel getting a lot of attention in downtown St. Louis, and rightfully so. How about we talk to the people behind it and also all the development that's going into Union Station, including the aquarium, which will open later this year. Lodging Hospitality Management. They're the story we're going to tell on the Business of Family Business today. It's presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA joins us in studio with Bob and Steve O'Loughlin. I wanted to talk about the very origin of Lodging Hospitality Management. And Bob, when did it all start for you?
Well, it started basically in 1986, and I had an opportunity to move to Denver with a company I was with, and I really liked St. Louis. I had lived here a number of years, really enjoyed the people in St. Louis, and figured, you know, what the heck, I might as well start my own hotel management company so I can stay in the city that I love. And it was about the time that they had the tax law change. Mm. And so consequently, a lot of real estate, including hotels, were going back to lenders. And it was kind of fortuitous on my part because I knew a lot of local lenders in town. And I ended up managing a lot of third-party hotel contracts. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the kickoff of Lodging Hospitality Management.
From what I understand, you were the youngest manager in the history of Hilton. Is that right?
I was, 1967, somewhere around the time Steve was born. I decided to get in the hotel business, and it turned out to be something that I really loved. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it from day one, and I was with Hilton for 9 years. I went from Hartford to Cincinnati to Oakland to San Francisco, mm-hmm. And then decided to leave to come to St. Louis.
Back then, you had your own vision of what this would become. And today, you're getting ready to open up an aquarium and you have the Ferris wheel that's going. It's pretty remarkable. What did your vision look like back then compared to what your vision looks like today?
Well, it was quite different. Having lived in St. Louis, I saw all of these great iconic properties around town. Westport Plaza, which we currently own, I thought was really unique, 46 acres, mm-hmm. mixed use, 1 million square feet of office and retail and a couple hotels. I looked at Union Station back in the 80s when Rouse and Oppenheimer first redeveloped it, and I said, what an incredible facility. Mm-hmm. Loved the Cheshire because it was so quaint and it had the English look to it. And little did I ever think we would be owning all of these properties, but it's been really a good run. It's been exciting. We've kind of taken iconic properties and fixed them up, turned them around, and made them really special.
Yeah. And in Westport Plaza, when did you first purchase that property?
That was roughly, we bought the hotels in 2000, and we bought the rest of the complex about 7 years ago. As it relates to Westport Plaza, we did two things that were really unique. We saw the lake as a great opportunity to put a world-class office building there. Mm-hmm. And we talked to the good folks at Worldwide Technology that were looking to expand their operation and put their headquarter building there. And so consequently, I sold them the land. They built a 210,000-square-foot office building, mm-hmm. which currently houses 1,000 people. And then we looked at there was an old movie theater there, and it had sat there for about 10 years. And I always liked the idea of the social clubs around the United States where we would visit, where they had the big screen TVs and the games. And I didn't want to do bowling, so we sat down and we said, let's do bocce ball, shuffleboard, basketball hoops, ping pong, dart room, and just make it a fun place. So we took this big 13,000-square-foot edifice, converted into a really cool social club, and it's been kind of a mainstay out there. People love it, and I think it's really added value to the overall complex.
How many of those games do you play?
I've played just about all of them.
Yeah.
I probably like basketball and ping pong the best.
Oh, okay. It's amazing how things could come full circle because you talk about Worldwide Technologies, and they became one of the major investors with Major League Soccer here, which also plays in with what you're doing downtown. So isn't it amazing how sometimes those things and the people you work with come full circle?
Yeah, well, Jim Cavanaugh and I are on the board of St. Louis University, mm-hmm. and we're both ironically hit the parking lot at the same time, and I asked Jim if he and some of his people would like to invest in one of our funds. Mm-hmm. He said yes. And so we became really good friends. That turned into the office building out there. Mm-hmm. And then he got familiar with what we were doing. And then we were approached by Dave Peacock on the original group to be part of the soccer group. And so I was involved, Jim, Dave Peacock, and Paul Edgerly, who owned a small percentage of the Boston Celtics and mm-hmm. was a managing guy at Bain Capital. And so, unfortunately, as you know, we didn't win the vote here in St. Louis, and that kind of went away for a while. But, you know, all good things come back around. I think our city is very fortunate to have a man and a family like the Taylor family and Andy Taylor to hook up with Jim, and those two are partnering in doing what I think is going to be a spectacular soccer field, soccer stadium, and a great team.
I do want to talk more about that in a little bit, but also in the studio with us is Steve O'Loughlin, and I wanted to talk about your role with Lodging Hospitality Management, what you do.
Yeah, so I'm president of the company, and I joined the company in 1997. Mm-hmm. So started in the hotel business when I was 15 years old, started out in maintenance, and then I did front desk, and I worked in the kitchen for a little bit. During college, did a little bit of the night audit, which is 11 at night till 7 in the morning mm-hmm. for a short stint, and wanted to get my sleep, so went back to the front desk. But saw what my dad did and wanted to follow in his footsteps and just fell in love with the business. So went to UMSL and mm-hmm. worked all through college. And then my first job was with Hilton in Detroit. Wow. And I worked in sales and then wanted to move back to St. Louis. So I came back and I worked for Marriott, the Marriott Pavilion, which we ended up buying in 2005, I think. And we reflagged it as Hilton Ballpark. But spent 7 years there doing housekeeping, sales manager, front desk manager, and then mm-hmm. then made my move over to LHM, and that was I think a pivotal point for us. My dad just picked up the contract for the two Sheratons at Westport. Goldman Sachs had bought that whole complex, mm-hmm. and so it was a big management contract for LHM, and so that was a good time for me to slide over. That was in '97, and okay. then 3 years after that was another pivotal point because Goldman Sachs had put the hotels up for sale. And then my dad could probably tell the story better about how this, I think that's what really got us on the map in terms of equity and buying the hotels.
They have all kinds of great developments across St. Louis, some of which they're very excited to share with you today. On the business of family business, as we tell the story of family businesses, Bob O'Loughlin and Steve O'Loughlin, they join us in studio along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And as you hear the stories of family businesses, you know that 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition, meaning that a family business owner who owns the stock may not necessarily step down and hand it to the next generation or gift it or whatnot. Maybe there's no interest. But either way, if you're part of a family business and there is interest and you want to develop the next generation to be effective business owners, you need to talk to my friends at CMA Consulting. They have what it takes to help unify the next generation. Go to cmaconsult.com or give them a call at 314-721-8255. 1860. It doesn't hurt to give them a call if you're in this situation. Maybe you know a family business that may need a couple of questions answered, or maybe you need a little push in the right direction. Their website again is cmaconsult.com. cmaconsult.com. Reach out. We tell the story of family businesses across the St. Louis region, and this one pretty exciting right about now. They just had the Ferris Wheel open downtown along with their soda shop and the aquarium, which is going to be happening at Union Station right around the corner. A lot going downtown, and a lot of it has to do with some of the development from Lodging Hospitality Management. Here to tell their story is Bob O'Loughlin and Steve O'Loughlin, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I also wanted to know about your relationship, because it sounds like at the very beginning, your dad was really working you. So were you working for him at this point?
You know, when I was in high school, I wouldn't say it was a direct report. I'm working in maintenance. My dad's general manager of the hotel, right? So I'm screwing in light bulbs and picking up trash and that kind of thing. But
was he keeping you honest?
always.
Yeah.
But I think those were, you know, really fun times because that's when I really got to learn the business. I would drive into work mm-hmm. with my dad. And I think where I really started picking up the business is working the front desk because that's really kind of the heartbeat of the hotel. That's where you're interacting with the guests. And I'm starting to learn about customer service and management and that kind of thing. So, you know, we could share conversations about what was going on in the hotel.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you see this a lot, the humble beginnings. You get your foot in there and you get to try a lot of different roles, and that really helps you develop when you have a relationship in this case.
So the experience and getting to move around different areas of the hotel is a great experience to have. 70% of what we learn, what we're able to do, comes from on-the-job experience. Mm-hmm. 20% comes from training and seminars or from coaching, mm-hmm. and 10% comes from seminars and training. Yeah. So that on-the-job experience is absolutely critical.
With lodging hospitality management, what were some of the first things that you were doing after you created and you started using that as the business?
Well, we were doing a lot of third-party management, basically working for Goldman Sachs, as Steve indicated, and then working for Travelers Insurance. We had a couple hotels with them, a bunch of lenders in the St. Louis area. And then a good friend of mine, Ed Trusheim at General American Life, said he had a hotel down in Florida in Orlando for sale. Would I go down there and take a look at it? Mm-hmm. So I went down, looked at the hotel. It was a 200-room hotel. It was during one of the recessions. And the gentleman down there said, you know, well, we've got $5 million into this hotel. What will you give us for it? And I said, how about $3.6 million? Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'll call you back. And about a half hour later, he called back. He said, it's yours. And so consequently, it kind of taken me aback. And that was the first hotel we bought. Mm. And as the recession cleared, a lot of the lenders were putting the hotels up for sale. Mm-hmm. And so I said, why don't I buy some of the hotels? So we started buying them, and we'd start with smaller hotels, 200 rooms. And then we worked our way up to the Hilton at the Ballpark, 700 rooms, mm-hmm. Union Station, close to 600 rooms, and then the two Westport properties, 509 rooms. Currently, we operate over 5,000 hotel rooms in the St. Louis area.
Wow.
And so we're the largest owner of hotel rooms in the St. Louis area. It's been very exciting. It's been a great ride.
Does it feel like you take on a lot of risk when these companies are selling off? Was there ever pressure you thought, well, I don't know that these investments may pay off or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, getting into business, people don't realize out there just how difficult any business is. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the hotel business is because it's cyclical. And so consequently, if you're, you know, buying at the top end and then all of a sudden there's a recession, you want to make sure you're not highly leveraged and that could cause problems. So anytime you take on a hotel, it's a working business. There's a huge amount of risk involved. So we try to mitigate the risk by buying in a downturn. We kind of use the Warren Buffett strategy of buy when it's low and then buy at a good price. And then put a lot of money into to make it different, as we had talked earlier. We bought the Hilton at the Ballpark. Mm-hmm. We did the 360 rooftop bar,
yeah.
Which is every year since we've had it over the last 6 years, it's been rated as one of the top 10 rooftop bars in the world. So it sets us aside from our competition. Mm-hmm. Likewise, when we bought Union Station, we did a light show in the Grand Hall, which
right.
is spectacular. And we'll do 55 to 60 weddings in there on a yearly basis because it's so beautiful and there's so much going on there.
Love the light show. The last one I was at was when we were there for the Polar Express, which is an awesome deal that goes out of Union Station. And Union Station is beautiful to begin with, but you saw even more potential in it. And now you're developing the aquarium in there, and everyone had their eyes set on that because they're very excited to see what you're going to do with that property. You got to be really excited, too. How often do you check in and see how the progress is?
Well, Steve checks in every minute.
Yeah.
I'll do it once a week.
Yeah.
And it's just a thrill to go through it, because here's an iconic property that's the world's largest train station, and it's celebrating this year its 125th anniversary.
Wow.
If you tried to replicate this, the craftsmen aren't there to do it, number one, and it would cost billions of dollars to do it. So it gives you a great responsibility to say, I've got this beautiful building, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
So of course, we're in the hotel business, so we added on 150,000 square feet of meeting and exhibit space and renovated all of the guest rooms, and it's been a huge hit for conventions and meetings. And then we had 120,000 square feet left in the retail area, and we knew retail wasn't going to work downtown, so consequently we came up with what St. Louis has always wanted that never had. We're the largest city in the United States that doesn't have an aquarium, so we decided to do the aquarium. Along with the aquarium, we decided to do a Ferris wheel, a carousel, miniature golf, a ropes course, and a mirror maze. So it's kind of morphed into this family entertainment facility, much like the Gaylord Hotels, where you have Opryland in Nashville. And we think when it opens, it's going to be a very special place. The reaction we're getting on it is just overwhelming. The people can't wait till it's open. And as you said earlier, I think it'll change the landscape of St. Louis alone with a Ferris wheel.
At Union Station, I have a very fond memory of the hotel there, and everything is so beautiful inside of that. When I came to audition for the job here at KMOX, that's where they put me up at, because it's pretty close in proximity to our stations here on Olive and Tucker. It was really my first impression of St. Louis. You drive in, you see the arch. It was the first place I stopped at, and everything was just so beautiful. The rooms were so beautiful, and it was just an unbelievable first impression of St. Louis. You give that first impression to a lot of people.
I think that's a great point, because I think a lot of times, like 360, you'll talk to people in St. Louis, they've never been there. And a lot of times, in fact, the other day I had somebody ask me, do you have hotel rooms at Union Station? These are local people. So I think, consequently, the biggest impact is going to be from people coming in from out of town to look at this facility. U.S. News 3 years ago rated the lobby at Union Station as one of the 10 most beautiful lobbies in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's appreciated sometimes more outside of St. Louis than in St. Louis. But we're really thrilled about the soccer stadium that's going to go just west of us, because I think it'll draw more locals. Typically, our parking lot at Union Station fills up for every concert and everything that's going on in Enterprise. So it fits in for both locals and people from out of town.
It's Lodging Hospitality Management. Steve O'Loughlin, I got to ask you, has it been hard for you to not check your phone? Because I know you're always wanting to know updates on everything that's going on.
Just a little bit. Actually, for this interview, I did turn it off.
Well, you're very excited about it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sharing the stories of family businesses are important, and maybe you're part of a family business that has a great story to share. How about you reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting? We would like to highlight you on this program, just like we're talking about Lodging Hospitality Management today. It's on the Business of Family Business. CMAconsult.com is the website. You can find email information for Dan Bean on there, CMAconsult.com. Just let them know you're interested in being on this program on KMOX. We'll continue our conversation with Bob and Steve O'Loughlin next. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on the Business of Family Business. We share stories of family businesses across the St. Louis region, and this weekend, the story of Lodging Hospitality Management and some of the projects they have going on today. Bob and Steve O'Loughlin in studio with us, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. And don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Bean at CMA if you have any questions about a family business situation you may be in. Their website is cmaconsult.com. We've seen renderings at the very onset, and now we're getting very close to the opening of the aquarium at Union Station in downtown St. Louis. So how do you feel everything's coming together at this point?
Really good, and it's been a fun process just from the start in terms of development to the design. We've got PGAV, who's a local designer. They're considered one of the top two or three aquarium designers in the world. So it's great to work with those guys. But if you look at each silo, so it's the aquarium team that we're working with and the people that operate our wheel, Our food and beverage team, which operates our restaurants here in St. Louis, like Boundary and Basso and 360, you know, my responsibility is to make sure the project's on track and the hiring and the operations. But, you know, I sit here today and I feel really good. Everyone is in their silo. In terms of the hiring, we did use a lot of social media tactics in terms of getting applications. We had over 1,800 applications for all the jobs.
Wow.
And so we're completely hired up on this first phase, which is the wheel, the miniature golf course, the ropes course, and the soda fountain. Mm-hmm. And then our second phase, which will be November 18th, that's the Train Shed restaurant, which is the old Houlihan's restaurant. And there'll be like 25 beers on draft and ribs and burgers and sliders and that kind of thing. So a great pregame and postgame place for Blues games and MLS. We'll also open up the ropes course and the Mirror Maze at that time. So again, applicant flow on that is great. And then with the aquarium team, it's just been through the charts. So in terms of hiring, we're in really good shape.
You know what's amazing is coming from the ballpark, I had a chance to see this firsthand. The Ferris wheel becomes its own landmark. It stands out. It is like its own little skyline and something like it's amazing.
It is
how that transformed everything.
We're a sponsor of the St. Louis Cardinals, and one of our reps over at the Cardinals, she was pulling out of her parking space and stopped and took a picture looking west, and it's I think one of my favorite pictures because there's like a little hill on Clark, and then you can see Enterprise Center on the right.
Yes.
And then you just see the outline of our Ferris wheel, and it just kind of gives me chills. We're going to have so many great photo moments with the wheel.
What's going to happen at Union Station once they start to develop a Major League Soccer stadium and a team? That's only going to propel more people to downtown when you add on to the attractions that you're already adding there, Bob.
Yeah, I think the more synergy you have in the downtown area, and we're starting with density, going from the arch to the park deal. You've got everything, the exciting things that are going on at Ballpark Village, the great upgrades that they've made at Enterprise Center, what we're doing, and then you add a soccer stadium next to it, and then the things that Foundry's doing, NGA's going in. I think people will look back 5 years from now in St. Louis and say, wow, I think this is going to put us on the map as far as a destination and tourist attraction.
Well, what great exposure. You'd think, too, of the way they televise these soccer games. It's going to be impossible not to have the drone shots, and you're going to have your Ferris wheel there and the arch and everything. It's going to look so perfect and beautiful. Plus, the brand new stadium's an attraction by itself, and you're going to bring so many other people downtown for an event like that. And I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of people come in. These are highly attended soccer games. So there's a lot for people to do downtown. Do you ever feel like you're a part of this? You see this development in downtown and people investing more, and you know, you've got your own involvement in Ballpark Village, and you see those giant condos going up, and now you have the Major League Soccer Stadium. You're in the middle of all of that. What does that mean to you to be in the middle of that?
Well, it's exciting to be a part of it. I couldn't be more pleased with the progression, and it's interesting because a lot of these things were done independent of each other. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a master plan of how to take downtown and develop it. Mm-hmm. We're currently looking at a plan to do the rest of the downtown area, mm-hmm. and I think it's really critical we have an opportunity to expand our convention center, and I think it hasn't been expanded in a long period of time. I think it was 97 or 93 the last time it was expanded, and I think it's really critical that we do that.
You also have a location at the Cheshire Inn. I wanted to get the origin story there because that's a unique origin story, too.
Yeah, you know, the Cheshire started with a restaurant called Meat Arts, and they were known for a great hamburger, and this was in like 1926. Mm. And the Abted family bought it, and they kept adding on to the restaurant. And they went over to England and got a lot of artifacts and created the Fox and Hounds and the hotel. I believe that was in 1960. So about third generation, and the property hadn't had a lot of money put back into it, the Abted sold us the hotel. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, we took the same designer that did 360 and redesigned the whole complex. Mm-hmm. We put a Starbucks in there. We have Basso in the basement, which is this really cool place. You feel like you're in New York when you go downstairs mm-hmm. and get this Italian pizza and beer. And then we have the Boundary upstairs, which is listed because it's the property splits between the city and the county, mm-hmm. so we named it that. And then the Fox and Hounds is packed every weekend. So the Cheshire has turned into just an incredible boutique hotel yeah. that everybody loves. In fact, the story, we had Bennington, the goalie,
yeah.
Stay with us for a period of time. And we feel, in addition to all of the great stories of the Blues, we might have helped our goalie by staying at the Cheshire. At least we're going to take credit for it anyway.
Take credit for what you can, yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, who did you purchase that from?
The Abted family.
The Abted family,
Dan
yeah.
Abted, yeah. They owned it for quite a while.
Was there a bidding process that you went through for that?
Yeah, there was. First, Steve Abted, the father, tried to get me to buy it for a number of years, and we could never agree on a price. And then Dan Abted and I agreed upon a price. And then somebody came and overbid me. Mm. And so he fell out of bed. And then it came back to me. And I said, well, it's not worth what I bid before. We'll have to lower it. And we ended up buying it a little bit less than we had originally bid on it. So
how about that? That probably doesn't happen too often. But you're able to understand the situation and make it work for everyone. I'm Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. A story like that, when you find a property and, you know, sometimes you may get outbid, but the other bidder kind of drops off. I wanted to get your thoughts on the origin of that story.
I don't know about the origin, but I know the lesson learned. Don't negotiate against Bob O'Loughlin. If you're going to be in the same room negotiating, make yeah. sure you're on the same side of the table he is.
Yeah. I hope you're enjoying the story of lodging hospitality management. We post all of our business shows online at KMOX.com in the podcast section. If you'd like to hear this one, you can. Bob and Steve O'Loughlin will continue one last time for them to tell their story and some of the things they're looking forward to in the future, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And you know, family businesses, they're like other businesses in some ways, but they also have that deep emotional connection. You could have a second, third, fourth, fifth generation where you can look back and see the lineage and you know the names and the last names and the clientele that have been there forever, when they can walk into the shop and say, I remember when you were this tall and now you're running the place. What's it like to transition to the next generation? Have you thought about that transition by itself? CMA Consulting, this is what they do. I hear so many family businesses say, I wish we had a company like CMA around when I was transitioning to that leadership role. It would have been a world of difference for us. And now that they're in a position to transition or maybe retire, they're calling up CMA and saying that we want to use your help. We want to do it right this time. They have talent experts, tax and accounting and legal, banking and risk management. If you have a family business that has a transition coming up, maybe a retirement or a leadership transition, how about you give CMA a call? And they'll give you a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business. They'll talk about some of the problems that you're facing and maybe some of the solutions. CMAconsult.com is the website, or you can give them a call at 314-721-1860. CMAconsult.com. Don't hesitate to reach out and talk to Dan Bean about your family business. I want to thank both Bob and Steve O'Loughlin for joining us in studio to share their story of lodging hospitality management. Real fascinating how involved they are into the development of downtown St. Louis. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. We'd love to hear family business stories. We'd love to hear your family business story. Reach out to Dan Bean, get his email contact, or give him a call. The website is cmaconsult.com. Steve, do you have any kids?
I do. So Natalie is 23. She graduated from Indiana University.
Great.
And she works at Merit's on in their creative agency side. Mm-hmm. And Brian is 19 and he's studying business at Butler University.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Great. Does he know how to change a light bulb too?
He does.
He does. Go ahead.
He does now.
How many employees do you guys have now?
So today we've got 3,000. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of this, come December 19th, when we open up the aquarium, it'll be 3,500. So 500 new jobs in this next phase.
Do you have a countdown clock somewhere for December?
It's funny. Our design and construction guy, he's got one of those countdowns on his phone, and he'll screenshot it and send it to me. So it's coming fast and furious now. We were walking the construction site today, and it just shows you how close we're getting. I think there's probably 150 trades on site right now, and I'm kind of weaving in and out of these guys. It's a busy construction site.
It's a lot to manage, too. An awful lot to manage.
It's a ton, and it's coming from all different angles. So technology is kind of something that is going to be a big part of this aquarium, and that's front and center right now. And so we're managing that process to make sure that's on time. The guy that did the Grand Hall Light Show, mm-hmm. John Maselli, and he also did the Michael Jackson show in Las Vegas, he's also programming all the technology mm-hmm. for the aquarium. And some of my favorite things, when you go into the first exhibit, we're going to have this LED wall that half the screen is over the first, it's a clock exhibit. And it immerses over the entire ceiling. So John is coming up with all that technology. So there's weekly checks with him to make sure he's on time. And, yeah. you know, we've got a schedule that we've got to make. But he's got his creative juices and, you know, he's continuing trying to refine that. And then we also have a virtual train. Mm-hmm. It's a train station. And we did a trip to the World War II Museum, and they've got a virtual train that starts out your journey into that museum. And we really like that. So we've got that as part of our project here in St. Louis. And John is doing, I'll call it kind of a Harry Potter-ish type of technology experience. When you get on the train, the windows are actually video screens, and this train magically jumps into the water, and there's fish swimming around you.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And then it leaves Union Station, and it eventually comes back, and the doors pop open, and you're back into the first exhibit. So there's a lot of different components with this project.
You're going to have me hooked, because my four-year-old sounds like this is everything he's always dreamed of, everything that you're talking about right now.
And then ride a Ferris wheel that's 200 feet in the air, right?
Loves Ferris wheels, too.
Look over the west side and see the soccer stadium.
Well, he told me to take a picture of it. He said, next time I'm down here, he wants me to, because I was telling him about it and how it's developing, and wow, there it is. He said, take a picture. I want to see it. So I'm like, that's the nice thing is you can go online and see some of the progress this way.
We'll bring him on down. He could ride the Polar Express. Ride the wheel. One of our vendors or partners that we're working with is a company called Nassau, and they are the theming company that did the Harry Potter Village down in mm-hmm. Universal. So they're one of the best theming companies in the world, and so they're doing all the theming in the Shark Tank. They're doing the theming and in all the exhibits and these tree roots, and it really just layers that cool overlay to make the project really pop.
Yeah.
Generally, Steve and I agree with everything, and it's been a lot of fun. I don't know if Steve would say the same thing, but it's been fun for me.
Yeah, it's been. I think it's been a ton of fun, and I think something that is, I guess, unique to our setup and our company is how quickly we can move on things. So if my dad's looking at an opportunity, it's not like he's going to a board or investors or asking. You know, for permission, if he wants to buy Union Station, he will make that decision and off we go. I was talking to somebody last week that works with us, and he said, I just love working with your company, because if I need an answer or permission to do something with you guys, it's you and Bob. And, you know, things just happen so much quicker. And I think that's also something that I don't know if it surprised me, but when I was with Marriott, everything is so bureaucratic and mm-hmm. things are slow. So if we need to renovate something or if you have an idea, it generally would get lost or it just doesn't happen. But, you know, tell the story about the 360 rooftop bar. We took my mom up to Chicago for her birthday, and we fly up and we see this rooftop bar up there. We have a nice dinner at Gibson's, and then we pop over to this bar that just opened up, and on the way back, my dad said, you know, we got to do a rooftop bar at the Hilton at the ballpark. And so, you know, we get home, and literally on Monday, I'm calling the designer and he's flying down, and probably within 6 weeks, you know, we're signing a contract to do a rooftop bar. And this is in the middle of the recession. Mm. And, you know, we did this all out of cash, and that's how quickly, you know, we can act on things and off we go.
You said it's ranked one of the top in the world.
Yeah, so it pops up, you know, you'll see these Thrillist things, yeah. And it, you know, it's exciting every time you see those things come up on social media. I'll click through to see if we're listed, and, you know, sure enough, we are, and It's exciting for us, and it's exciting for the staff.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you hear about the different roles that they have, and they, I mean, they have thousands of employees. They continue to hire more because they're expanding. What are your thoughts on their roles and how they handle?
I think it's great because they've built to their strengths, and Bob has Steve to manage the day-to-day operations, which frees him up to think big picture without having to worry about the day-to-day. At some point, Bob obviously won't be there, so Steve's going to have to step up and bring somebody up underneath. But right now, they've got a great situation, both of them, where they can build to their strengths and the organization flourishes because they have those different strengths and they build to them and respect each other's area of decision-making and make it work great together. Yeah.
If we go all the way back to the beginning, and sometimes people get inspiration in different places, was there anything that inspired you to own a company, Bob?
Yeah, actually, I had worked for Hilton for 9 years, and I was out in the Bay Area running a hotel, and there was a hotel restaurant association that I was a member of. So we went to a meeting one day, and one of the restaurateurs pulled up in this really cool-looking Mercedes. And I had worked for a large autocratic company, and I said, you know, I think I might want to be an entrepreneur and end up in a place like him where I can call my own shots, do what I want to do, be creative, really enjoy the business from a different perspective. And that was kind of the catalyst that started me thinking about it. And then as my career grew and I had the opportunity of either going to Denver and staying in the corporate environment or going out on my own, it became very easy that I can always go back to the corporate climate. And I went on my own in 1986, and we've never looked back.
Wow.
Once you start, as Steve said, I think the turning point was when we bought Westport Plaza, and it was exhilarating that you know, we pulled off this big deal, and then every deal thereafter has a story to it. It's been a lot of fun. In fact, one of the fun transitions was when we bought the Hilton at the Ballpark. It was a Marriott, and 2005, we wanted to get it done before the Cardinals opened the Busch Stadium 3. So it was going to be opening day on a Monday, and we hadn't had the sign that said Hilton go up yet. And the trade said it's going to cost you triple time to put up the sign over the weekend so you can have it for opening day. And basically, I said, I'm not paying triple time. So as opening day came, they started to put the H up, and then they put the I up, and it was on TV, and Mike Shannon was reporting, this is marketing genius, that the guys are putting up this sign where 46,000 people are watching the sign going up, and Steve and I are getting texts, and people are betting whether the N was going to be done by the end of the game. And it was just a fun story. Pure cheapness turned it into a great marketing effort.
I love that story. Absolutely love it. Now, if people wanted to get updates today on what's going on with the aquarium because they're anticipating and they can't wait to check it out for themselves, is Facebook the best way, or would you direct them to the website, or what would you do?
Both are active. I would Facebook is probably where most of the information is coming through because we're updating that daily, hourly. So,
and what do they search for that?
If you just type in St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station, it's going to pop up, and then definitely follow us.
Of course, continue to grow.
And invite your friends to follow us. We will be celebrating our 125th anniversary also with some movie nights.
I just think it's a wonderful story. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your impression on everything you've heard here today.
Ryan, this is an amazing story today, a story about strong entrepreneurial spirit, strong motivation, a great formula for success that can turn a kind of an ordinary location into a destination for the marketplace, and two great people that have complementary skills and work very well together. So it's just a great story and a great organization, and St. Louis should be thankful to have them.
Lodging Hospitality Management, Bob and Steve O'Loughlin, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.